If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts 28. Again, continuing our series through Acts. I originally thought that we were going to wrap up our series in Acts this morning, okay? After 21 months that it's been since we started this series, I thought we were going to finally finish Acts today. But as I was studying this chapter, I felt like we needed to break it into two messages. I felt like there were some things at the beginning that we needed to do. And so there's just too much to fit into to one message. And so today we're going to take a look at the first 10 verses. Now, if you were with us last week, you may remember that Paul is finally on his way to Rome. After 6 years, right, he's on his way to Rome by way of ship. But unfortunately, he still didn't make it, okay? He didn't make it to Rome. Instead, you may remember at the end of chapter 27, their ship was caught in a massive storm and started breaking apart. And so as we ended last week, the ship was in pieces, and the people on the ship were either swimming to shore or floating to shore on pieces of the ship. Now, I imagine they felt a little bit like Gilligan, right, on Gilligan's Island after his three-hour tour. Unfortunately, this wasn't just a three-hour tour. It was like 2 weeks in this storm. But at least it wasn't a deserted island, okay? It wasn't a deserted island. People actually lived on this island. And so this is where we're going to pick up this morning, is we're going to continue in Acts 28 and read verses 1 through 10. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. This is what it says. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta, which is an interesting name because it means refuge, a place of refuge. And they needed that after this storm, right? And so the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. Okay, it reached out and bit him, basically. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead, but after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said, "He was a god." Paul's gotten this before, right? As he's done miracles and things, people thinking he's a god. Verse 7, it says, "There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him." And this is what I love. Verse 9, "When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came, and they were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed." Now, there's some very interesting things that happen in this section of Scripture, which is why I decided to break it up into two parts, okay? I was going to just focus, really, I thought, okay, this will be our last message in Acts, and I was just going to kind of focus on the ending of Acts, you know, Paul finally getting to Rome, kind of what was next for him and for the New Testament church, and really what would be next for us as we continue to move on. But as I kept reading through this, I couldn't overlook the viper. Okay? I couldn't overlook this section of the viper. I mean, seriously, I really believe Paul would have made an amazing Marine. Okay? All right? You know, this idea of, yes, hoorah, the snake bites him and it's like, pain, What pain? Pain is a sign of weakness leaving the body. Okay, that was kind of one of our mottos in recon. You know, pain is a sign of weakness leaving the body. And he just shakes it off. No big deal. Oorah, you know? Okay? And so Paul would have made a great Marine. Either that, or he would have been great. He would have been great. It would have been great to video this scene and have it for the video for Taylor Swift's song. Shake it off. Shake it off, right? All right, some of you guys are like, what the heck did he just do, you know? Now, I joke, but this is some pretty cool stuff that happens in the midst of difficulties, right? In the midst of chaos and trials. To kind of frame for you what I want to talk about this morning, I want to share with you another scripture. It's a scripture that many of us know. We've probably quoted it to others as they've walked through challenges and difficulties, or perhaps it's been quoted back to us as we've walked through challenges and difficulties. It's one of those scriptures that we don't mind saying it to other people. We hate it when people say it back to us, okay? Funny thing, too, is it's actually the memory verse that the men are supposed to memorize this week, okay? And I thought it was funny because I was done with my sermon as we got into our study this week, and I was like, it's just confirmation of the Lord and where we're at and what He's wanting to teach us. And so it's out of Romans 8, and it's Romans 8:28, and this is what it says. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. All right, I should have had the guys quote that for me here. You're supposed to be memorizing it. We'll see how good you've been doing. If you're like me, I usually wait till the day of men's group, and then you memorize it real quick and come and act like you knew it the whole time. But God works all things together for good for those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. And a question I have is was it a mistake that this ship broke apart and stranded Paul and these men on this island? Because if you were here last week, you may remember that Paul warned these men not to leave when they did. He told the captain of the ship, no, you shouldn't leave, but it's like, who are you, all right? You know, you're a prisoner. We're about to take somewhere. I'm a captain. I know what I'm doing here, right? And so they went instead. They didn't listen to Paul. And they found themselves in the middle of a storm where their boat breaks apart and now they're stranded. And so was it a mistake that they were here? Or was it part of God's master plan of what He wanted to do for the people on this island? We live in a fallen world. And because of that, bad things happen all around us. Every day we experience bad things, but whether it was a mistake or whether it was God's master plan to begin with, we see God work for the good of those who love Him. And we see His will accomplished in and through their lives, regardless of the circumstances and regardless of how they got there. In these verses we read this morning, we see that all things worked together for good. And as I looked at these, I realized that there were kind of three things that stood out to me in three ways that it worked together for good. Now, these aren't the only ways that God works all things together for good. It's simply three ways that I saw in these scriptures that I want to share with you this morning. And so the first is this: God works all things together for good through His protection. Through His protection in our life. It's sometimes in the midst of His protection that He works all things together for good. And kind of let me explain what I mean. That the storm that we talked about last week had gotten so bad that the ship literally broke into pieces. And all the people on the ship, either they jumped into the water because they were warned. They said, jump, those that can swim, jump, save yourself, right? They either jumped into the water or they were thrown into the water as the ship broke apart. And those that could swim, they swam to shore. Those that couldn't grabbed pieces of the ship, and held on for their life as they floated to the shore. But the key is this: all of them made it to the shore. All 276 of them were saved. Not one was lost in the midst of this storm. That's amazing in and of itself, that a ship goes down, it breaks into pieces, and all 276 people survive. In the midst of this disaster, God's hand of protection worked all things together for good. And the cool thing is that God's protection didn't stop there, right? These islanders, they came to the rescue of these people that had just weathered the storm. And I don't know what it looked like to them, you know. I used to watch an old TV show called Lost, okay? Anybody watch that show? I loved that show. It was like my favorite show, and then the last episode happened and I hated it, okay? But then I rewatched it again with my son in the last year, and I actually like the ending now because I kind of understood it a little bit more. But anyways, I'm digressing quickly here. But if you know the show Lost, it's about this airplane that crashes on this island, right? And the beginning scene of Lost is, you know, the crash, and there's pieces of the airplane all over the place, and people are running around kind of distraught, and that's kind of the picture that I have here on this island. You know, these islanders are looking out, and they see this pieces of this ship come washing up on shore, and pieces, so instead of an airplane, it's ship pieces, like, all over the place, right? And people are crawling up out of the water, bodies are straggling to shore, and it's raining and it's cold, and so there's just this mass chaos. And these people run to help them. And as they helped everybody to shore, they built a fire for them because it was cold, it said. And so they built this nice warm fire to warm them up. And the thing is Paul doesn't just come onto the shore and plop himself down by the fire and get warm. He actually becomes a servant himself in the midst of this. Being the servant that he was, he began to help the islanders by helping with the fire, by gathering sticks for the fire. Now, as he gathered these sticks, he didn't notice that amongst these sticks was this viper, all right, about to take a bite out of his hand. Now, some think it was probably a combination of things, probably the fact that, as we've talked about before, that Paul had poor eyesight, okay? So, you know, you're reaching down to grab sticks, and, you know, a snake that's there could look like a stick, okay? So there's that, but then also, if you know anything about snakes, when they're cold, they're very lethargic. They don't move very fast. So it's not like if it was hot and he's going, the snake would have slithered off right away. But there is probably in the sticks, it's cold and lethargic. You know, but then bringing it next to the fire, the warmth of the fire wakes the snake up and boom, you know, he latches onto Paul's hands. Now, obviously we talked earlier about, you know, Paul, like a Marine, just shook it off into the fire. But you got to wonder, what was going through Paul's head? I mean, it's almost comical when you think about Paul's life, right? You know, he's been beaten to near death several times, thrown into prison. He's experienced plots to kill him. I mean, all these things, and then the storm, and now a viper, right? And it's like, no wonder. It's just like, seriously? Come on, bring it on, devil. You know, just hit the viper off. And so, you know, you wonder what he was thinking. But the interesting thing is though it didn't seem to bother Paul, the islanders, they thought for sure Paul was a goner, right? You know, because of their superstitions, they believed, well, Paul must be a murderer, must have done something horrible, because even though he made it out of the water, the goddess Justice, which they believed, you know, there was a goddess that brought justice, and if you did something bad, she would make sure you paid for it, you know, and so surely this goddess Justice will bring justice, and he's going to die from this snake bite. And so at this moment, both the islanders and I'm sure the men with Paul had to believe that this was a horrible thing. This snake bite, it was horrible. He was about to die. But he didn't, right? He didn't die. There was no swelling, no nothing. And I wonder if Luke, who is the author of Acts, who's been with Paul through so many of these things, I wonder if Luke tells this story to show once again how God miraculously protected Paul. In the midst of him carrying out his will, that he miraculously again protected Paul. Because the thing we have to remember is that nothing whether it's plots to murder him, you know, whether it's a shipwreck, whether it's a poisonous snake, nothing can get in the way of what God wants to do in and through our lives. And we need to understand that. Paul was faithful to keep going. God had a plan for Paul, and nothing was going to get in the way of that. This situation could have been disastrous. It looked bad. But this thing that looked bad turns into a blessing as Paul and the other men that were invited to the house of the chief official because of this. Because they saw, wow, this guy, like, they thought he was a god, you know, he found favor with him. And so because of this, they invited him to his house. And it's at his house that we see kind of the next way that I believe God works all things together for good, which is this. My second point this morning is God works all things together for good through his power. Through his power. As Paul and the others arrive at the house of this chief official, they were shown wonderful hospitality there in this place. But while they were there, they also met his father, who was sick and suffering from fever and dysentery. Now, I'm not going to go into detail what dysentery is, okay? If you don't know, you can Google that later. It's not a pretty sight, all right? But it's miserable. It's painful. It's this horrible infection that back in this time, would often take the lives of people, all right? They didn't have the doctors and the medicines and the things that we have today. And so it was a horrible thing that this guy was probably going to die. And the interesting thing to me is that Luke, again, the author of Acts, did you know that he's actually a doctor? Luke is actually a physician. But it isn't Luke's medical expertise that helps this man. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit at work through Paul that heals this man. And even though it was a horrible, awful thing that this man was experiencing, God used it for good. Because again, listen to what it says in verse 9. When this happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. If this man wasn't sick, Paul wouldn't have prayed for him to be healed. And if Paul wouldn't have prayed for him to be healed, we wouldn't have seen the power of God at work, and we wouldn't have seen the rest of the sick on the island get cured. God uses his power at times to work all things together for good. He uses his power to turn a horrible and possibly deadly situation, as I said, into a blessing that changes the lives of many. Mistake or master plan? God works all things together for good, which leads me to my final point. God works all things together for good through his provision. We can't forget that Paul and these men ended up on the island because their ship was broken and destroyed. They lost everything. Like I said, it's like Gilligan, right? They got no ship. What do we do? With their ship gone, it meant that it could be a long, long time before they would be sailing anywhere else. But in verse 10 it says, "They honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed." Now, we talked last week about God's timing versus ours. We talked about how it's been over 6 years since Paul had said that he must go to Rome. He's gone through all sorts of things, not knowing the route that it would take. He didn't know the detours. He didn't know the challenges and the difficulties. But the reality is Paul was on his way to Rome. And he was going to get there at some time. Sometime or another, he was going to arrive in Rome. And now here in verse 10, we see that God is providing a way for that to happen. The snake bite, the healing of Publius' father, the healing of all the sick on the island, it led them to resourcing Paul and the rest of these people with the provisions that they needed to go and to do the work that God had called them. We can't forget that regardless of what goes on around us, God is always our provider. It doesn't matter what the economy is like. It doesn't matter what happened here, what happened there. God is our provider. Paul tells us this in Philippians 4:19 when he says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." And I learned it in New American Standard. My God shall supply all my needs, right? He will work all things together for good in our lives. And sometimes He does that through provision, through providing for us. We have to remember that we live in a fallen world. We have to remember that bad things are going to just naturally happen. We've seen that, right? We've seen that in our world, even just natural disasters that we've seen, earthquakes and tsunamis and storms and all these things. We live in a fallen world. Bad things are going to happen. Like Paul, our journey to the places that we feel God has called us might not go the way we want them to go. Man, God speaks to us and we get excited. Yeah, I want to do that. But it doesn't always go the way we want it to go. We may experience detours and obstacles along the way. But through them all, through whatever we face, the key is that we trust in God. Are these places we find ourselves in mistakes? Or are they a part of God's master plan? Why are we facing these challenges that we're facing? Now, I know that sometimes we find ourselves in situations because of our own failures, right? Sometimes it's the consequences of our sin and our past actions that bring us to these places, right? You know, you go rob a bank and you're going to spend some time in jail, right? Oh, come on, God, you said you'd forgive me, right? I do forgive you, but think about that forgiveness while you spend that time in jail for the actions that you did, right? So we may have to go through consequences because of our actions. There are times where that happens. But other times, it's just the reality of the world we live in. And the reality that God has us right where He wants us, despite the difficulties and challenges of this world. He has us right where He wants us to accomplish His will in and through us. When I think about this kind of stuff, I often think of the conversation Jesus had with His disciples. In John 9, Jesus and His disciples, they come upon a blind man who had been blind since birth. But listen to the conversation that Jesus has with His disciples, or really the questions that the disciples ask. In John 9, 2 through 3, it says this. His disciples asked Him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parent, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parent sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." What? God would allow this person to be born blind? Well, I don't believe God does things. I believe that we live in a fallen world, and because of that, things happen. Jesus allows those things to happen because we're in a fallen world. There's a brokenness. But He also knows that in the midst of the fallenness and the brokenness, that He can come and He can move and He can be glorified in and through it. Sometimes the detours and challenges of life happen so that God can be displayed in the midst of them. So that we can be strengthened and grow in our relationship with the Lord. When I look back at some of the most difficult times in my life, those are the times where I grew the greatest. Those are the times where I became a stronger Christian than I had ever been before. So regardless of whether it's a mistake or whether it's His master plan, the reality is we can grab hold of the truth that God works all things together for good, for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And we need to continue to seek for that good, to grab for those things in the midst of this fallen world, to grab hold of the goodness of God and begin to live those things out in our life, that like Paul, we might be example to those around us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this morning. We thank You for just this time together, to gather as a body, Lord, of believers, coming from all different places, Lord, to lift up Your name. And Lord, that's our desire, is to glorify You, to lift up Your name in all that we do, to live the life that You've called us to live, Lord. And we know that as we live for You, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden, magically, everything's going to be wonderful around us, that we're not going to face difficulties, that we're not going to face challenges, that we won't have to go through storms and difficulties in life. Lord, that's a part of the fallen world. And until You come back, we're going to continue to deal with things in this world. But we thank You that we can hold on to the promise that You work all things together for good for those who love You and are called according to Your purpose. And so, Lord, we just want to keep seeking You. We want to keep loving You and living the lives that You've called us to live in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of the challenges, in the midst of the storms that rage around us. Lord, may we look for the good. May we look for, Lord, how You want to touch each of us in the midst of these situations, Lord. How You want to give us strength, Lord. You want to see Your work done in and through our lives, Lord. We thank You for Paul. We thank You for the example that he was, Lord, and how he just faithfully gave his life to You, trusting in You, Lord, knowing, Lord, that someday he was going to get to Rome. Someday he was going to experience the promises that You spoke to him. But until then, he was going to just keep plugging along, Lord. And so may we be people that just keep plugging along, Lord. May we be obedient to do what You've called us to do. Because sometimes, Lord, when we step out in obedience, that's when we face the most difficult challenges, Lord. And it's hard. It's much easier to be comfortable and to sit back and do nothing. But Lord, may we be obedient to walk and live the lives that You've called us to live. And as we come against the storms and the challenges of this fallen world, may we trust in Your goodness to get us through it, Lord. Whether that's through Your provision, whether that's through Your power, whether that's through Your protection, Lord, that we would just trust in You and Your hand upon our life. We thank You for these things. We thank You for this word, Lord. May it penetrate our hearts and challenge us where we're at, Lord, that we walk out of here today different than when we came because of what You're doing in and through us, Lord. So we give You this day. We give You this week. May we glorify You in all that we do and delight in doing it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.